Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, and we're also going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. We're continuing our series, God's Answer for Our Problems. Tonight's message is the answer for care. Now, there's an old story of a man who met death one morning entering the city where he lived. The man stopped him and inquired why he was there. And death responded, "I'm going into the city to kill 10,000 people today." The man replied, "That's terrible. Why would you kill 10,000 people?" Death responded, "Taking people when their time has come is my job. And today, my job is to take 10,000 people." Later that day, as Death was leaving the city, the man met him again. He was furious. And he said to Death, "You told me this morning that you were going to take 10,000 people, but 70,000 people died today." Death answered, "Don't get mad at me. I only took 10,000. Worry took the other 60,000. Now, that's a semi-humorous story, but expresses a grave truth. In fact, we all have a saying, don't worry yourself to death. Haven't you heard that before? Because we inherently acknowledge the destructive nature of worry. Toward the end of the life of Winston Churchill, he said that when he looked back on all the worries of his life, he remembered the story of an old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. Did you hear that? He had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. We spend so much of our time and energy fearing what might happen and attempting to anticipate all the things that could go wrong in life and how to prevent it or protect against it or plan for it, that we spend our whole life basically in that mode of care and of worry. A minister expressed it a little differently, saying, "Worry is interest paid on trouble before it becomes due." Wow. The Huffington Post ran an article calling a study that revealed that 85% of the things that we worry about never come to pass. Never come to pass. Worrying is searching for problems. It's looking for stress. And it damages our health, it drains our energy, it disturbs our mind and our emotions. Today we want to look at God's answer for a form of worry that is called cares. You see, there are different words that we use: anxiety, worry, care, and fear. And these are all related words that are similar in meaning and describe varying degrees of a troubled state of mind. Care connotes a mind that is weighed down by the responsibilities of life or disturbed by apprehension of everything that is needed to carry on life. Jesus addresses the issue of care in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. He says, "Therefore, take no thought," some versions say care, "take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You got enough evil to deal with today. Well, don't be looking for and anticipating evil down the road is basically what Jesus is saying. But some versions translate the word thought as worry or anxiety or care, but it expresses the weight of the concerns of day-to-day life. The Greek word means to be anxious or to be troubled with cares, to look out for or be concerned over your interests. And Jesus lists in this passage the things that causes us care or causes us concern, making a living, chief of which That's what he means when he says what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. Well, most of our care surrounds making a living, being able to pay our bills, being able to take care of ourselves and take care of our families. Most of our care surrounds protecting our well-being and protecting the well-being of our families. We worry about the future. We're concerned about the future and what it will bring, and will we be prepared for it? And it's amazing that all the things that preoccupied people in Jesus' day are still the things that weigh us down today. See, folks, it may be 2,000 years into the future from when this was written, but the Word of God is still just as relevant to us today. Now, the root of this word, thought, that Jesus uses, means to be divided or distracted, because care or worry pulls us apart from the inside out. It so preoccupies our mind that we cannot seek the kingdom of God when we are burdened down with care. We are so preoccupied, so focused on the demands, meeting the demands of day-to-day life and anticipating what tomorrow may bring and how we can be prepared for it. Our mind is so focused on that we cannot really focus on the kingdom of God. And this concept of care also robs us of the peace and joy of serving the Lord. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus talked about being divided when he said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon, for you will either love the one and hate the other, or you'll hold to the one and you'll despise the other. Here is the concept of the word worry or the word thought that is used in this passage. It's about being pulled apart. Being pulled apart, that's the meaning of the word. And Jesus illustrated it there. He says, if you're going to serve the things of this world, if you're going to serve those daily concerns and try to serve him, you're going to be pulled apart. And one is going to lose. And most generally, when we're living like that, can you guess which one loses? Yeah. It's awful quiet in here. You're either serving God or mammon. Yes. And when you're trying to serve both, one is going to lose. And can you guess which one most often loses? God most often loses in our life. He gets pushed to the back shelf as the urgency of the day-to-day demands of life consume us. But Jesus tells us, give no thought. Don't worry. Don't give any thought to what you shall wear, or what you shall eat, or what you shall drink. You see, the idea is that when you preoccupy yourself with these things, it's going to pull you apart. Now, that the word, the same root word that is translated thought in this passage, is also used in 1 Peter 5:7. But 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares. There's that word thought. It's the same Greek word. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, these two passages of scripture tell us God's answer, God's cure for care in our lives. First, the cure for care is confessing our weaknesses to God. In Matthew 6:27, he says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? See, all our worrying can't change what's going to happen. You can worry, but you can't stop anything bad or anything negative from happening to you. You can't. And so instead of worrying, because our worrying can't change anything, we need to confess, I can't, but God can. I can't change anything, but God can. Jesus reminds us in this simple passage that our worrying can't do diddly squat. Our worrying cannot change a single thing that is tearing us apart on the inside. How many of you have woken up in the middle of the night thinking about a problem or situation and you are all stressed out? You can't go back to sleep. And you know the Bible says that you shouldn't worry. But the situation is so overwhelming and so stressful that your mind is racing. You're troubled in your soul, and you toss and you turn, and you're thinking about what you can do and what you should do and how can you handle this, and you're devising your plans in your mind. The problem with worry, and the reason that the scripture repeatedly admonishes us not to worry, is that worry leaves God out of the equation, as though the situation depends on us. Jesus reminds us in this passage in Matthew that the pagans are the ones that worry about what they shall eat and what they shall drink and what they shall wear. Why? Why do the pagans or the godless worry? Because they don't know God. So they rightfully should worry because they cannot turn to God for help. They don't have a relationship with Him. You know, I saw the difference that a relationship with God makes in our lives so vividly when I was going through treatment for cancer. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say that during the process that I never experienced worry or fear. There were some nights that I would be awakened, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning by thoughts of what if this happens or what if that happens. And what I would do is that I would immediately take out my phone and I would put on healing scriptures, put the earbuds in my ears, and I would just begin to pray the scriptures over my life. And when I would do that, peace would come. And sometimes I would fall asleep 30 or 40 minutes into the recording. Because peace came upon my soul. Because I was bringing my thoughts into subjection to Christ. And when Christ was in control, then I found great peace. And I could see a stark difference when I went to chemo or when I went to radiation and I would talk with the other patients. And many of them would tell me that they weren't getting any sleep at night at all. And many of them were telling me how distressed they were and how they were struggling with anxiety and how some of them were filled with anger. And of course, you know, the Cancer Institute would try to tell you every time you went in for your appointment, you know, we have meditation classes and, oh, you know, we have, you know, counselors on staff and everything, you know. And that's what they were pushing people towards. And it wasn't helping. There was one lady there that she had gone to all their meditation classes and she still couldn't sleep at night because she was so filled with anxiety. And thankfully God gave me opportunity to minister to many of them. But as I saw that, I was so grateful for the grace of God in my life. I was so grateful that I had a relationship with God, because I would never want to face something of that magnitude without Him. He makes all the difference in our lives. So the cure for care is, first of all, come to Him and confess our weakness. All my worry can't change a thing. We can't change a thing about what we're going through right now. We can't change a thing about what might happen tomorrow. We can't change a thing about what the future holds in our own strength and ability. But you see, worry is our attempt to be in control. We're worrying so that we can devise a plan. We're worrying so that we can come up with some response to trouble or problems that may arise or that we're going through. We want to have control. But the truth is, we are not in control of anything.
That's right. My God.
We're not in control of anything. But we serve a God who is in control and for whom nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible. And we need to come to Him and surrender our cares to Him and say, Lord, I can't, but You can. I can't change a thing, but You can, Lord God. And I put my life in Your hands. Hallelujah. And then secondly, we need to confess, this is too big for me. But You are bigger than any problem that I face. I shared this with you a few weeks ago in one of my Sunday morning messages on Undaunted Faith. But when I was in youth choir just a couple weeks ago, there was a chorus There was a chorus that was very popular when I was a teen, and we sang it in youth choir, and it said, "He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Oh, yes, He's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see." Folks, He's bigger than anything you're facing. He's bigger than anything that the future holds. He is bigger than anything that will ever come against your life. And we need to come to Him, and we need to surrender our cares to Him, and we need to say, "This is too big for me, God, but I know that You are bigger, that You are greater, that there is nothing impossible for You." Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Amen. So, Lord, I come and I put my life, I put this problem, I put my future in Your hands.
Yes.
And I give You full control. Take your hand off of it and put it in God's hands.
Well,
that's the cure for care.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Secondly, the cure for care is committing our worries to God. We must trust today's cares. Trust today's cares to God. Today's cares are the things that we know about. Today's cares are the needs that we have right now. Today's cares are the problem that we are facing right now. You know, earlier in this passage in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 30, Jesus spoke about how God cares for every bird of the air and for the lilies of the valley. And what Jesus is saying is that there is nothing in this world, no matter how seemingly insignificant or obscure, that escapes God's attention and God's care. If He sees the smallest of birds and He makes sure that their needs are taken care of, if He clothes the lilies of the valley that are here and beautiful today but burnt up with the sun tomorrow, then how much more, the Bible says, how much more does He care for us? Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. The scripture says, in essence, aren't you much more valuable than they are? Aren't you much more valuable? So when Jesus tells us to give no thought to what we shall wear or what we shall eat or what we shall drink, He's saying, God sees you. God's eyes are upon you. He knows what you have need of. So when He says, don't give any thought to what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear, Jesus is not saying that your daily needs are not important to God. Jesus is not telling us that we should not go to work and work hard to provide for our needs and for the needs of our family. To the contrary, the Bible encourages hard work. And the Bible says that the person who does not work should not eat. And the person who does not provide for their family is worse than an infidel. So the Bible encourages hard work. So Jesus is not saying not to work. He knows we all need to work. And Jesus is not telling us not to be concerned about the future or not to have ambition or not to have goals or a plan for the future. We need a degree of healthy concern. But we must not allow the weight of life's demands to pull us apart and to pull us away from our pursuit of the kingdom. That's what Jesus is saying. Worry is actually a slap in the face to God, because it says that we don't think that God is big enough to take care of us. But Jesus argues that God will sustain our life. He says in the second part of verse 25, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Basically, he's saying if God made you and God gave you life, then certainly He can keep you alive. If God wakes you up for another day, then certainly He can sustain you through that day. The God who gives you life is more than able to meet your daily needs. If He causes your heart to beat, then He can surely feed you to keep your heart beating. We need to make a willful choice to cast our cares on Him.
Yes, Pastor.
By praying about them specifically.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes,
And our trust in God will be evidenced in the fact that we are not distracted and preoccupied with our worries, but focused on seeking God's kingdom first and doing His will. When we can seek His kingdom first and not be distracted and not be divided, then it is evidence that we are truly trusting in Him. So we need to trust today's cares to God, and we also need to trust tomorrow's cares to God. See, today's cares are the things we know about, the things we're facing right now, the things we need right now. But tomorrow's cares are the things that we don't know about. That we don't know about. An unexpected diagnosis, a car accident, a problem in your house, a layoff at your job. Things that we don't know about. And most of us have probably heard the saying, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And I know that He holds my hand. You see, what that's saying is, God makes all the difference. There's an old hymn that says, God holds the future in His hands. And it says, dread not the things that are ahead, the burdens great, the sinking sands. The thorns that o'er the path are spread, God holds the future in His hands. And the chorus says, God holds the future in His hands, and every heart He understands. On Him depend, He is your friend, He holds the future in His hands. Folks, we have no control over tomorrow, but as long as we have trusted our life into God's hand, we can rest in knowing that He is in control. Hallelujah. And not only that He's in control, but that He cares for us. Cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. See, it'd be one thing to say that He's in control, but if He's indifferent to us, then that means nothing. But to know not only that He's in control, but that He loves us, that He cares about what concerns us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone once said that most people live by the motto, why pray when you can worry? But the Bible teaches us to live by the motto, why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray? We need to cast our fears. We need to cast our worries. We need to cast our apprehensions about tomorrow on Him. And we need to trust Him that whatever tomorrow may bring, He is with us. And He will bring us through. He will bring us through. Hallelujah. The cure for care is confiding in the watchfulness of God. You see, Jesus said, God knows what you need. Look at verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You see, in the same way that His watchful eye sees the need of every bird of the air, as Jesus described earlier in this passage, God's eyes are always on us. And He knows exactly what we're going through, and He knows exactly what we have need of. You see, the Bible tells us God loves us so much that He can't take His eyes off of us. In fact, in Psalm 34:15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are always on the righteous, and His ears are attentive unto their cry. God loves you so much, He can't take His eyes off of you. Some of you here are parents, and you love your children, and you delight to protect them and care for them and meet their needs in whatever way that you can. As parents, you would do anything for your children. But the fact is that no matter how much you love your kids, your knowing is limited. You can't know what is going to happen to them when they go to school. You can't know what is going to happen to them when they're out of your sight. Your caring is limited. There are times where as much as you love them and want to care for them and protect them, you can't protect them. because they're out of your reach. You don't know what they will encounter the moment they walk out of that door in the morning. But our Heavenly Father knows everything that is happening now. He knows everything that will happen tomorrow. He knows everything that we will face in the future. And He knows exactly what we have need of. There is not one moment that you are outside of the watchful eye of God. He sees everything that you are going through. He knows everything.
Thank you, Lord.
That you have need of and that you're going to have need of. Hallelujah. God cares about you and He is eager to meet your needs. Not only is His eye on you and He's watching, but He cares about you and is eager to meet your needs. You see, Peter makes it clear the reason we can cast our cares upon Him is because He cares for us. He loves us and He is concerned about everything that concerns us. So His knowing our need is joined to His loving us and desiring to help us and to meet our needs. If He takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the valley, Jesus says, how much more will He take care of you? Can you imagine how many millions of birds there are? And God feeds them every single day. That's what Jesus is saying. Every single day, He opens His hand and He feeds them. And Jesus says, how much more valuable are you? So how much more will God take care of you? You say, well, I need a whole lot more than a bird does. Well, folks, if He provided groceries for the Israelites in the wilderness, 2 million of them for 40 years, what is your need to Him? If their clothes didn't wear out in the wilderness for 40 years, what is your need? Now, I know some of you ladies don't like that. Because you all like to say, I have nothing to wear. And you like to go down to the mall. And you like to shop. Not me, but some ladies. Me going to the store is pulling teeth. I'm a mission shopper. I have a mission to get something. I go in there. I look at what I need. It frustrates one of my friends who is an avid shopper. Because I'm in and out in 5 minutes, and she likes to take 5 hours. But so this whole preserve your clothes for 40 years thing, I would have fit right in with that. Some of you get more tired of what I wear than I get tired of what I wear. But if He could take care of 2 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years so that He fed them every day, their clothes and shoes didn't wear out, not one of them got sick, the Bible says. If He can take care of 2 million Israelites in the wilderness, then what is your need to Him? What is your need to Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows what you have need of. And He loves you. And He is eager to meet your need and minister to you as the worship team comes back. The hymn writer expressed the truths of Matthew chapter 6 so very well. When he wrote the words, let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear. And resting on His goodness, I lose all my doubt and fear. Though by the path He leads, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And then the chorus says, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Hallelujah. Folks, when you trust him with your cares, you can be happy. You can be free. You can sing because you know that God loves you and he will take care of you. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord.